Praise God. Well, if you want to turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Get rid of this. Praise God. Well, we're looking at power this morning. Holy Ghost power. Praise God. Well, we're not dependent on these things, not too dependent anyway. Mark chapter 5. And this morning, I want to just looking at the faith that releases the power of God in our lives. And it was a tremendous story in Mark chapter 5 we're going to look at together. So let's just pray, shall we? Father, we just want to say thank you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Lord that we're able to give of our tithes and offerings. We give of our worship to you, give of our testimonies unto you today, Father. Lord, we can give of our time to you, but Lord, we just want to give you our attention right now. Lord, we want to be attentive to your word as you speak into our lives this morning. Lord, I pray and I believe you have a word for us. You've already spoken to us this morning. I thank you for all the things that you're saying to us. But Lord, may we be attentive to hear your word and to do something with it too. Lord, let your word change us, transform us, ignite that fire within us, I pray, by your word. Have your way, Lord. Use me as your vessel this morning and use us as hearers, as your church, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you believe God's got a word for you this morning, because if you do, you're more likely to receive it. So just believe that God is going to speak to you, and I pray that he will. Okay, Mark chapter 5. We just come to the story, and it's Jesus has just come and he's arrived from the other side into after being in the just delivering a man from a demon possession. He come and traveled over on the boat to the other side, to the Jewish towns there. He got off the boat and it says that the crowds around him pressed in against him. I mean, when he got off that boat in Mark chapter 5 verse 21, it says Jesus crossed over again into the boat to the other side, and a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. Just that picture. You imagine he's coming, and he's coming, arriving to the shore. You see this crowd of people just wanting to be near Jesus, just wanting to get close to Jesus. I tell you, that's my desire. I just want to be nearer to Jesus. I want to get closer to Jesus. You know, and when you realize who he is, you don't want to be anywhere else. And that's how I felt last night when I went to bed, and I was thinking, I just love being close to you, Jesus. I wanted to get up, but I knew I needed to get some sleep. Otherwise, you know, I'd probably be tired again this morning, and you need a word. You don't need to pass the sleeping. But I just want to be close to Jesus and closer to him. The closer I get, the closer I want to be. He's just wonderful. Anyway, they're pressing on around him. And then it says that Jesus, he met this man, Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. We're going to get to start of verse 27 in a moment. Met Jairus, who's a ruler of the synagogue, who fell down on his knees crying, "Jesus, my daughter is sick. Will you come and lay your hands on her so she will be well?" I mean, this ruler of the synagogue himself, he would have been a prominent position. And he fell on his knees crying out, "Jesus, help me." You know, what has God got to do to bring us to our knees sometimes, I wonder. And it's the story that I want to continue. As he is going to meet this girl, to bring life to her, to heal her, not knowing that she's about to die, as he's going is where I want to take off this morning. Reading from verse 24. "And he went off with him," that's Jairus, he went off with, "and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him." He went with him, and a large crowd was pressing in on him and following him. Wow. He went with Jesus. Just that start of that journey. in our life. I feel God is just saying to you this morning, are you walking with Jesus? Are you going with him? And as he went, the large crowd has gone to press in on Jesus. They all wanted to touch Jesus. They all wanted a bit of Jesus. They all wanted to hear from Jesus. They wanted something of Jesus. This morning, I pray that we'll be pressing around Jesus today. We're pressing in on Jesus today. Verse 25, and a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, had endured much at the hands of physicians, and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather grown worse. Verse 27, and after hearing about Jesus, she came in up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, if I touch his garment, I will get well. She thought, if I touch his garment, I will get well. So we see there's Jesus, he's walking to Jairus' house, and on the way to Jairus' house, this crowd is pressing on against him. They're wanting to talk to Jesus, they're probably wanting his attention. So he's going with a purpose, he's going with a mission to heal this girl in this man's house, to respond to the word, to his call, to the plead of Jairus. And he's on that journey, and as he's on this journey, here comes this woman. This woman who had been suffering with hemorrhaging for 12 years. Now, interestingly, whether there is anything in this, maybe any scholars among us would be able to give me a bit more insight, but the daughter was 12 years old. This woman had been suffering for 12 years. And often there's messages within what God is saying to us. 12 is often, I think, it's got something to do with the government and the rule, the perfect rule of government. But anyway, let's not detract. For 12 years, she'd been suffering, hemorrhaging with this issue of blood. And it says that she tried everything. She'd been to the doctors, and the doctors couldn't help. She went to another doctor, and that doctor couldn't help. She went to the physicians, and everyone that could try and help her, she went to. She spent all the money she had. And it says in Mark, it says that actually the situation, it didn't get better. It just got worse for her. Have you ever been in that situation? Well, you just go and you'll try anything, and yet it's just not getting better. It's just getting worse. She had exhausted all her options. According to the Levitical law, in her situation, she was not allowed to be around anybody. She was declared unclean. In fact, if anyone came near her, she had to say, unclean. She had to declare those words, unclean. It was humiliating. It would have been embarrassing for her every day of her life to walk through this. She was not allowed in the temple courts where the woman would enter in to worship God. She was isolated. She was ostracized from society. She was rejected by many. She was unable to be married. And if she was married, then there's likely that she would have had to have a divorce because of her situation. If anybody touched her, they too would be considered unclean for a period of time in their life. Not only was she isolated from society and rejected and ostracized, but also the condition that she was suffering was not a condition that she could put up with easily each day. It would have made her weak, frail, pale. She would have been highly prone to other sicknesses and infections and other diseases. She was in constant pain because of the continued bleeding in her life. She was not living a comfortable lifestyle. In fact, as it says, the situation got worse. It got worse. I mean, if there was a time in anyone's life, this was hers, where she was desperate for God. We see that her faith in God, she was so desperate for God to do something. You know, it's interesting that it says, Luke doesn't mention it, maybe because Luke's a doctor, but Mark points out, it said that she suffered great hands at the doctor. She suffered great hands. In other words, when she saw the doctor, I don't know how many of you have been to, you've had to go through treatment, you've got to go through things. And with the doctor, they pull you around, and then you have to go for tests, and you have to have these things. And it's a very uncomfortable and unpleasant situation. And it's not nice to go through. And for her, it says that she's been pulled around, she's been taken here, taken there, and it just got worse. She suffered at the hands of the doctors. A situation got worse. She exhausted every option. She spent all her money. She'd done everything she could. It was coming to an end. Why is it sometimes that we've got to be brought to our end before we begin to come to Jesus? God wants us that much. I believe God loves us so much that he will allow us to go through these things in our life, to bring us to a place where we will fall on our knees, like Jairus, this ruler of the synagogue, and he falls on his knees in front of all these people who knew him, and he pleads and he begs to Jesus, come and heal my daughter. God is wanting us to be a people who will fall on our knees before him, and he will allow whatever situation to bring us to the place so we will know him and so we will know his presence. In order to see God's presence and his power working in our midst, we've got to get to be a people of his presence and be a people who come into the presence of God. As God said to me today, Adam, stop digging your heels and start coming into my presence. Stop resisting and allowing other things to get in the way, but just come freely into my presence. Stop coming up with excuses and situations that are allowing you to come, stop you from coming into the presence. This woman, she could have said, well, I can't come out and meet with Jesus today. If I go out, the people will stone me. Quite likely they would have done, because she was not allowed out in public and touched all these people, because she would have likely been in this crowd. She would have had to touch people to get to Jesus. If people saw her condition, they would have said, ah, it's this woman, and likely they would have started screaming and telling her to get out and possibly stone her and destroy her. For her to come out into public was her to say, I'd rather die to live than live to die. Some of us are living to die. Like Lot, I come back to that because I do believe it's a word for us as a church, living in the world. And he was called to get out, and he didn't want to get out of that. And he said, flee for your life. God is calling us out. Some of us have got to die to live. Jesus said, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That means there's got to be a sacrifice. It means that I'm not going to put up with the situation anymore. It means there's going to be a cost involved. That Jesus said, there are things that are getting in the way of me spending time with you. Then God, I want to give that up so I can know you more. She came out into the public. She was desperate. She had a faith that was so desperate to meet with Jesus. How desperate is your faith? How desperately do you want to meet with Jesus? It says there in verse 27, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd. After hearing about Jesus, you know Jesus and you want Jesus in your life because somebody told you about him sometime in your life. Maybe you heard a story. Maybe you heard a testimony. Maybe you saw something in their life that says, I want what you've got. Praise God, you know Jesus because of the story that you heard in your life. It says in the, if you go back to the previous story before Jairus, when Jesus was, he healed a man who was demon possessed. It said the man who was set free came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to come with you. I want to follow you. And Jesus said to him, no, don't follow me now. He said, I want you to go back to your town first and tell everybody in your town what I have done for you and the mercy of God upon your life. In other words, he says, go and tell people your story. He went to Decapolis, which is 10 cities, 10 lands. He didn't just go back to a little village. He went to 10 different regions. He went on a mission to tell people his testimony of what God had done in his life. And everywhere he went, people heard about Jesus. And when people heard about Jesus, they heard and they thought, well, if God, if you can do that for him, then you can do this for me. If you can set him free, you can set me free. If he was bound and I'm bound, then you can set me free. So no wonder why this crowd came to me and followed Jesus. You know, I long for the days as a church that we would come and we'd wake up on a Sunday, or we'd wake up on a Thursday, whenever we get that place to gather together. And instead of thinking, well, I can't come, I'm not feeling up to going today, I feel sick, I feel unwell, or I've got this reason or that reason, I just pray that we would say, God, I need to get into your presence because you can make a difference. I remember hearing of a guy I used to work with. He said at the church, he said they had a healing meeting, but it was cancelled because the minister was sick. You know, and I think it's not right what the scriptures tell us. They came to Jesus. I believe people left their work. They left their work, their time of work. They left their families. They left their situations, whatever they were doing, just to get to be with Jesus. And yet we will come up with excuses why we shouldn't come and worship Jesus. I tell you, Jesus is so wonderful. And I don't want anyone to feel condemned, because I know it's that ignorance, it's the unknowing. And when we get to know, and the Bible says, taste and see he is good. And once we've tasted, we want more of Jesus in our lives. But it says she had heard of what Jesus had done. And she came running and meeting Jesus. She'd heard. And I felt God is saying to me this week in the prayer meeting, and over the weeks actually we heard different words, and that God is saying, God wants to give you a story to tell. He's already given you a story to tell, and we're not telling those stories. It's those testimonies. And some of us are, or we've stopped telling those stories. Your story is what Jesus has done for you. It's your testimony. Has Jesus done something for you in your life? If he has, we need to tell them. We need to tell these young people, because when they hear those stories, they'll think, well, I want that. That will stir a hunger within people's lives to say, I want Jesus to do that for me. We have stories to tell. Meet up with people. Tell a story. Tell your story to people. If you haven't got a story, then get a story. This lady, she didn't have a story yet, but she was about to get an incredible story. She'd heard what Jesus had done. She'd heard a story. And now she needed her own story. You've heard a story. Do you have a story to tell? It's time to get a story. She was desperate in faith. She was desperate for Jesus to do something. It says she pushed through the crowd. You see, her sight was not on the crowd. Her sight was not on people. Our sight was not on people. God, deliver us from the fear of men. God, deliver us from the praise of men. We want the praise of men. That's the natural way that we are as human beings. We want affirmation. We try and get it through different ways, through what we can do, through our talents, through whatever, so we can get some affirmation, so we get the praise of men, because it makes us feel good and accepted in society. And yet Jesus says you'll be hated by people. You know, God's really starting to challenge me on this. Do we want the praise of God, or do we want the praise of men? She pushed through the crowd. Despite what they may say, despite they may start shouting, despite they may drag her out and kick her out, and maybe some may try and stone her. She pushed through the crowd because she had her eyes set on Jesus. Wow. The moment we keep our eyes on Jesus is the moment we will not be distracted by the crowd. But the moment we get our eyes on the crowd is the moment our eyes will be taken off Jesus. Where our eyes are set is where we will seek the praise. Do you want the praise of men? The praise of God. And she sought after Jesus. She sought after Jesus. She pressed through the crowd. And she said this. For she thought, if I could just touch his garment, I will be well. So she pressed through to touch his cloak. Luke says that she pressed through to touch the hem of his garment. Now that's really interesting. You ever wondered why was it that Luke mentions the hem? What was so important about this hem? And when you understand that, it tells you a bit more about what's going on. When Jesus responds to people's lives, his response to prayer, often it's out of that deep cry. God wants to know that we mean business with him. And there's something about this, and it says that she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could touch the fringe of the garment was what the Jews would wear, and it was the tassel on the end, or the tally on the end, and it was inside. It was woven a blue cord, which spoke of the royalty. But it also meant that for the Jew, it says that they will choose. They said, "I will follow the law, and I will obey the Lord." It was a sign of a symbol to say that I'm somebody who walks in obedience to the war and the ways of God. He's a man who walked righteously before God. So it was a sign of his walk with God. There was a man that was committed that he followed God. He'd followed the Father, our Father who art in heaven. But it's also a sign of authority. Now if anyone knows and you're aware of the story of Boaz and Ruth, you know the story. It says when Ruth came to the bed of, she laid at the bed of Boaz, and she desired him to be her husband, to be a kinsman redeemer, that she would redeem him because her family died, and that was the obviously it was part of the culture, the structure of the day. The law was that if your husband had died, and then a relative, the brother, would marry you, so you'll be able to have the children in the time of the culture. And it came to Boaz, and she sat at the feet of his bed, and she laid, it says that she took his garment, the corner of his garment, and laid it over her feet. What she was saying was, Boaz, I want to identify myself with you. I want you to be my redeemer. I want you to be my husband. She's saying, I want to identify myself with you. And she laid that over. She said, I'm coming under your authority in your life. So when this woman was coming, she was saying, I want to come. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I want to come under his lordship. I want to come under his way. I want him to be my master. I want to come under his authority. I know he has the authority, and I want to rest under him. And I don't know, I think it might have been you, Pete, but you just started singing in the Spirit, and you were saying, under the hem. And I just felt the Spirit of God just wave over me and saying, God's saying that's where he wants us to be, under his hem. Under the hem of his garment, that rest under his authority, rest under his power, rest under his truth, rest under his lordship today. Oh, glory to God. You know, when David recognized that authority with Saul, it said that when Saul was after his life, Saul was in a cave and David went, creeped up behind him and he cut the hem, that same hem, off his garment. And then David went away, and it says David was grieved in his heart that he'd done this. And he said, God forbid that I should lay a hand, stretch out my hand against God's anointed. It could have killed him, but he was grieved that he'd even taken that off. Why? Because it was a sign of authority. You see, when we come to Jesus, we must recognize that we must be willing to come under his authority. If you want power-releasing faith in your life, you want God to do things in your life, you must recognize the authority which he carries to do things. It says many people went to Jesus' hometown and he could do no miracle there because they saw him as a man. They didn't see him as the king. They didn't see him as a prophet. They didn't see him in his power and his authority. They didn't recognize his authority. He must recognize the authority of Christ. He said, if I could just touch him, I would be made well. Well, if I could just touch him this morning when we come and worship him. No, do you want to be somebody who just worships Jesus? Now, this says many people were bumping into Jesus, but there were those who would touch Jesus. And he said, who touched me? But they said, but Jesus, there are many people here. They're rubbing up against you. There are many people here who are touching you, Jesus. But Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? You know, I don't want to be someone who just comes and just bumps into Jesus. We come, we worship Jesus, we recognize him, we know he's there. But I don't want to just bump into Jesus. I want to touch Jesus with my faith. I want to say, God, if you do this, then I will be healed. Jesus, I believe, Father, if I just get a hold of you this morning, if I come into your presence, if I come into the Holy of Holies, if I come into that throne of grace, I will find grace and mercy in time of need. I want God to be moved by my faith and my worship. I don't want to just rub up against Jesus. I don't want to just knock on his shoulder. I don't want to just put my arm around him. I want to move God's power within him. It is moved by faith. She is moving and pressing in. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. I will be made well. Smith Wigglesworth said this. Some people were challenged by Smith Wigglesworth and things that he said. He said, why is it God is always moving in your life and doing things in your life? And he said, well, you see, it's like this. If the Spirit does not move me, I move the Spirit. Wow, it's an interesting statement, isn't it? If the Spirit of God does not move me, I will move the Spirit. He was not being arrogant in what he was saying. He was speaking in faith. Your faith and your belief in the Word of God will begin to cause something to move within Jesus. Your words that you say will not move God unless it's accompanied with faith. Your actions will not move God unless it's accompanied with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is by faith that God rewards those who diligently seek him. She's got to come with faith. She said, if I touch him, I might get well. No, she said, if I touch him, I will be well. If I touch him, I'll be well. Psalm 39 verse 3 says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing by the fire and it burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. You know, that's incredible. While I'm musing by the fire, while I'm dwelling close to the presence of God, while I'm speaking his words in faith, his fire begins to burn within us. And then Jesus turned and says, who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? This morning, as we worship God, have you touched Jesus today? Have you moved his faith? It says that Jesus perceived that power had gone out with him. It says immediately the flow had dried up and she knew that she was healed. When God's power is released from his life, when we move in faith, his power is released upon us, upon our church, upon who we are, upon his church. Who touched me? He's also saying, who touched me? In other words, and she says, if you read that, let's read this verse. I know I'm just aware of time. Verse 31 says, and the disciple said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. When Jesus said, who touched me? He's saying, who was it that touched me? Come out of hiding. Stop hiding. When it says that she came and approached him, she came behind him to grab the hem. She didn't come in front. She was hiding all the time. She didn't want anyone to see her condition. She didn't want anyone to see her. You and I as Christians, sometimes we don't want people to see us. And sometimes we can even try and hide ourselves from God. God knows everything about us. And Jesus is calling this woman, come out of hiding. When I call forth for testimonies and stories, if I bring a word and I bring a challenge or an altar call at the end, and sometimes, and maybe not always, you know within your heart, God says, that's me, I need to respond. God is saying to you, not me, he's saying it's time to come out of hiding. He was calling her out of hiding into the light. Jesus is calling his church out of hiding into the light. He's calling you out of hiding into the light. He wants you to respond to his word. He wants you to respond and tell the world what he's done for you. Come out of hiding. And it says that she came out, she fell on her knees, and she told him everything. I just love that. That moment she came out of hiding, her heart was laid bare. And I believe the freedom, the second freedom came in her life. She couldn't hide anything from God anymore. You know, as Christians, as people, as normal people, whether Christians or not in this world, we walk around and we hide, we cover ourselves. Been doing it since the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve came out, they hid their shame. And Jesus sees everything. And the moment we just fall on our knees before him, he says, lay everything bare before me. Pour out your heart to me. Pour out your life to me. I can just see this woman as she just poured out her heart in the midst of this crowd. Jesus was not looking at the crowd. He was looking directly at her. It was just between him and her at that moment. This is nothing to do with the crowd. This is just me and you. And she pours out her heart to him. I can just see her weeping and pouring out her heart as all those years of baggage, of 12 years of torment, 12 years of holding her back, 12 years of isolation, of rejection, 12 years of not people wanting to know her, 12 years of just being on her own. 12 years of pain, as she pours out her heart, saying, Jesus, you're the only one who could help me. You're my last resort. It's you, Jesus. Freedom came into her life. Release came into her life. Healing came into her life. And then Jesus says these words, verse 34, as I bring this to a close. He says, daughter, hallelujah. He says, daughter. He doesn't say, woman. He says, daughter, daughter, your faith has made you well. It wasn't my garment. It wasn't the clothes I'm wearing. It was your faith that made you well. Daughter, he's acknowledging her as part of the family and the household of God. He brought her in out of isolation into adoption, out of isolation and separation into the family. He brought her out and he brought her in by calling her those simple words, daughter. We've heard this morning, you are a child of God. I think God is affirming to us today. He says, daughter. He says, son. It's your faith that makes you well. Daughter, son, will you respond to him today? Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Go in peace. You've been healed of your affliction. You've been healed of your turmoil. You've been healed of your anxiousness. You've been healed of your loneliness. You can come in the temple courts again. You've been healed of your pain. Your life is different now. Go in peace. It wasn't just to say, go in peace, my child, off you go. It was, go in peace. It was literally, she went with peace She was not weighed down any longer. God wants you and I to walk in peace in this life, but requires us to come to him. It requires us to lay everything down before him. And as I'm preparing this week, I just felt God say, you know, through this week of prayer, and I've been praying yesterday, God say, Rotherham is bleeding. Rotherham is bleeding, it's dying. Only my blood can set Rotherham free. The many isolated and need to be brought back into the faith. Many people in this world have backslid and they've turned away from God. And Jesus is calling them back to the family of God. Some people, their lives and the situation, it's got worse, it's not got better. And God is bringing you under his authority and his lordship. Some people are exhausted in this life. And it's time to surrender everything to the feet of Jesus. It's time to get desperate for the presence of God. It's time to get determined to move out of our comfort and rather die to live than live to die. It's time to take up your cross and surrender what does not matter for what does really matter. I'll say that again. It's time to surrender that which doesn't matter for that which really does matter in God. It's time to stop bumping into Jesus and start touching Jesus by faith, that the power of God will flow. It's time to come out of hiding and get a story, to stop being spiritual Sunday submarines where we come up on Sunday and then we're back to a normal living throughout the week. It's time to get a testimony. It's time, if you're going to get exhausted for Jesus. If you're going to live for something that's worth living for. This world and everything in it is fading away. And if you live for this world, then you're going to fade away with it. But if you live for Jesus, you're going to live and make a difference. Come to Jesus. Jesus got down. I could see him getting down on his knee to this woman in the midst of the crowd. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. You mean something to God. Will you come to Jesus this morning? Will you come and lead us in a song as we close, and well, we do whatever, but can we just bow our heads for a moment? Did you come this morning because you'd heard, and you just come because it's Sunday, this is what we do? Let's just bow our heads, please. Let's close our eyes. Did you come to meet with Jesus? Do you know him in your life? You've tried everything in this world and it's just exhausted you, it's worn you out, but it's time to come to Jesus. If I could just touch him, come to him with faith today and say, God, you are the one who can make me well. You're the one who can restore me. You're the one who can put my feet back on track. You're the one, Jesus. You're the one who'd lead me in paths of life and righteousness. If that's you today, then let's just respond. Let's come out of hiding. Let's respond to him. And as we sing this song, I don't know what John's got planned, but as we sing, you know, if you've got to get your children and they're at the back, then go and get them. Or if you need to respond, you want someone else to get them, then do that. But just respond to Jesus. And you can do that by just coming and come to the altar, come to him. And just respond to Christ this morning. Say, Jesus, let that be a response of faith. Jesus, I come in faith, knowing that if I can touch you, your power will flow. We can touch Jesus before he touches us. You know that. With your faith. And it may be a faith on behalf of another. It may be for a relative. It may be for a loved one. Maybe for someone who's not here today and they can't get to Jesus. Let your faith reach out to Jesus for another, like the centurion's faith. Lord, you just say the word and they'll be healed. Jairus' faith was, Lord, if you lay your hands on him, he'll be healed. Where's your faith today? Lord, you're speaking to people here today. I know you are. I know you are. And I pray, God, that we'd respond. And I know time is gone, but what's time in God? Time will go in this world anyway. But what's time in God? Time is precious. So as we're singing this song, if you want to respond, if you want someone to pray with you, then we'll pray for you. If you just want to respond to Jesus, then come to him. Come through the crowd, come through the people, come through the distractions, come through and lay your life before him. He's the King of Kings. What can be more important than Jesus? Let's stand together, Shuin. Kurabasindanamasia.